During her teen years, Jaquel Crow was a mostly compliant daughter. But that doesn't mean she didn't bring some attitude along with her compliance.
I was very snarky, especially with my mom. So my mom was the main person who taught my brother and me. And so we spent a lot of time together. And my mom and I are quite alike. But yes, I was someone who was a rule follower. So I was willing to obey, but I would make it very apparent that I did not find any joy in obeying.
This is Family Life Today. Our host is Dennis Rainey. I'm Bob Lapine. We'll hear about how Jaquel Crow's parents handled her attitude, her snarky attitude, as we talk with her about her adolescent years. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. I just want to know if there are any suitable young men in Halifax who have caught the attention of Jaquel Crow yet, do you think?
Let's ask her. She's here. She's right with us.
She's written
a book called This Changes Everything, and she's not talking about a man.
We're just jumping right out of the gate here.
And
to
her
find
father
out.
is in the outer area. He's grinning real big, like he may know something that you and I don't, Bob.
Well, the answer is yes, but it's only pretty recent. So I've been asked this question one other time on radio, like many, many months ago, and the answer was easy. It was no. But now the answer is a little bit trickier because it's yes.
So you're kind of on the early stages of
seeing. We are in the early stages, dating, courtship, whatever you want to call it.
Should I give your dad my book, Interviewing Your Daughter's Date?
You know, we actually saw a picture of it on the wall earlier today, and I pointed it out to him, and I said, Dad, you need to read that book.
Actually, you may need to go ahead and write the one you want to write, which is six conversations to have with your future son-in-law, but... I don't want to be rushing anything. I don't want to rush anything here.
Hey, is this broadcast heard in Halifax, Nova Scotia?
It won't be now.
It'll be turned off. Well, we are talking to Jaquel Crow. She is a graduate of Thomas Edison State University. She's a writer, lives in Halifax, as we've mentioned, and is a contributor to the Gospel Coalition, DesiringGod.org, and Unlocking the Bible. And this first book, This Changes Everything, is about how the gospel transforms the teen years. And we've been talking about the challenges for teens today. They really need to be anchored spiritually as never before because of the messages and issues that they're facing, don't they?
Absolutely. They are being bombarded constantly with messages from the world, from home, from church, and all of these messages are just these competing ideologies. And so young people need to know where they can place their hope and trust.
There's a lot of clickbait on the internet. There's a lot of stuff that'll pop up in your feed where you'll go, well, that looks kind of interesting. Or you'll read something and you go, that makes sense. Have you found yourself kind of going down the rabbit hole a few times and going, wait. What am I even doing in here? And why am I reading this stuff? This just isn't true.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. I think every young person, at least maybe every person who has access to the internet has done this. Facebook is just, it can be the worst for this. But I think this comes back to something that my parents have always been teaching me, which is the issue of discernment. Being able to tell the difference between, hey, what is true? What is not? What is authentic? And what is just false information? And sometimes I have not been good at that. But that's something that you really have to work on, and especially training your young people in this digital age.
Jaquel, you may know a lot more about this than I do, because I don't read a lot of magazines that are aimed at young teens today. But when I do find myself online and I see something from Teen Vogue or something from Marie Claire or something, I'm going, the messages that are being sold to teenagers today are not just... they're not just bad, they're evil. They're destructive messages, and a lot of young women are reading this like it's the gospel.
It's true, and I think a big part of that is because they are very good manipulators, and they know young women very well, and so they can capitalize on the insecurities and weaknesses and questions and doubts that young women have, and they can make a very evil message look very appealing.
And one of the things that this little device is doing right here.
What? Oh, your phone.
My phone.
Yeah.
It's taking people out of face-to-face relationships and it's creating a pseudo relationship of tweets and a few words and a snapshot here and a sharing of an experience there. One of the things you write about in your book is the need for young people today to know how to establish authentic relationships. And in your book, you talk about four of them.
That's right.
With your parents, with your siblings, with your friends, and dare I say it?
Say it.
With the opposite sex.
It's true.
So we were made for love, weren't we?
Absolutely.
God designed us to love him and love others.
Yeah, it's true. God made us for community. From the very first humans that he created Adam, and it was not good that he was alone, so he created Eve. Community has always been God's design in relationships. Like, embodied local physical relationships with each other has always been the design. And so in the book, I do talk about these four relationships and how we interact differently in them and how it looks different in how we treat our parents versus how we treat friends or a member of the opposite gender that we may like. But ultimately, in all of these relationships, I believe that God desires that we seek to become more like Christ and that we do delight in one another as humans and do pursue community in a healthy, holistic way that God has designed and commended.
So as we've talked this week, it has sounded like the fifth commandment, the one to honor your father and mother. You may have broken some commandments, but this is one that you've just never broken.
Oh, I'm clearly perfect at it. Yeah, you picked
that
up.
Your parents have been so perfect.
Well, that's right. My parents are perfect, so they made it easy.
It sounds like there's never been, and I want to pop the bubble a little bit.
Let's pop it for sure.
There have been some times you've been mad at your mom or dad, right?
Oh, definitely. There have been times that I have been mad at my parents. There have been times my parents have been mad at me.
For instance.
Have you ever been grounded?
So I was homeschooled. So grounding
kind of
never really
grounded.
Worked.
Hey,
no.
And keep in mind, your dad's just right out there.
I know. You guys make this so hard.
This microphone is portable.
Okay. Well, good to know. Well, I will try to be honest so that this microphone does not need to leave this room. When I was younger, especially, I mean, all throughout my life, I did have an issue with attitude. In that I was not the most respectful to my parents. And yeah, that's probably the issue.
Seriously.
Oh, I'm being 100% serious.
You're so sweet.
Oh, I must put on a good front.
So what would disrespectful look like? Were you snarky with your...
I was very snarky, especially with my mom. So my mom was the main person who taught my brother and me. And so we spent a lot of time together. And my mom and I are quite alike. Well, my dad and I are also alike, which can make things hard. But yes, snarkiness, just... I was someone who was a rule follower, so I was willing to obey, but I would make it very apparent that I did not find any joy in obeying. And I mean, I could go on and on.
Did you ever have a season of just, I just don't like them right now, and I wish they were out of my life?
No, that never happened.
You're pretty smart. You graduated from college at 18.
Well,
there had to be a point where you thought you were smarter than your parents.
You know what? I don't think there was. I mean, the college thing is a little bit different because I studied long distance and I actually did dual credit. We'll just throw in a little side tidbit here. So I took courses during high school that counted for both high school and college. So I'm not as smart as you think I am.
You may be as smart as we think
you
are.
I just tweaked the system, basically.
But you're saying that your relationship with your mom and dad, for the most part, throughout your life, has been a solid relationship. What would you say is the thing that they have done that has made that relationship healthy?
A lot of things. But the biggest thing, like when I look back on my teen years, I look back on my preteen years, I think about what marked my relationship with my parents is just that I knew that they loved me. Like, everything they did in my life, even the stuff that ticked me off and the times that they did punish me for being snarky or, you know, being mean to my brother, it was all because they had my best interests at heart. And that's one of those things I like did not recognize it at the time. But when I think back on it, my parents were not people who just like had an authority trip or that didn't like us, like just kind of tolerated us. my parents like really liked hanging out with us. They did things so that we could spend time with together, and they could just kind of like pour into me and take time to learn about my interests and treat me as a human, like not just as someone who's like, this is my child, but someone that they had the respect to treat me as a fellow image bearer of God.
When you did get punished, how did you get punished? I mean, timeouts when you were little?
Timeouts when I was little, I would be sent to my room. Oh, do you want to hear something really nerdy about me?
Yeah.
Okay, so I love books, and I've always been a big reader. My mom punished me by taking away my books for a day. That was devastating. I will tell you, I was so sad.
There's some teenagers listening right now to this broadcast, and their eyes just roll back
sorry,
in their head.
I'm such a geek, guys.
Punish me, please.
Did they ever take away your device and wouldn't let you have your device, or did you manage that well?
Well, that's an interesting one, because I did not get a smartphone until I was 18. So there wasn't really an issue there.
Did you want a smartphone when you were 16?
A little bit. But this was another area where my parents, right from the beginning, were like, look, we don't think it's a good idea. Here's why. Ask us your questions. Give us your pushback. Let's talk about this together. We're not just, that was not a rule that they were like, no, this is, it's never happening. Like, we're no discussion. They were like, let's talk about it. Let's read articles about it together. Let's talk to other people about it. And so it was always kind of an ongoing discussion. And then they were the ones, they actually bought me a smartphone for my 18th birthday. And at that point, I was like, oh, like, this is great. But I had like spent so many years not being dependent on it. I wasn't like, oh my goodness, this is the fulfillment to my joy. So my parents did a really great job with that.
So if you had to pass one lesson you've learned about honoring your parents on to a teenager who may be listening right now, in that teenager's language, what would you say to him or her?
I would just say, remember that your parents are people too. So this is a big thing for me, is that it's hard not to think of your parents as mom and dad. Like, that is their identity. They exist to be my parents. No, your parents are people too, with their own issues, with their own fears and doubts and questions. They don't have all of life figured out. They are not perfect. And they are not trying to kill all your fun and rob you of joy. Like, your parents are just doing their best. They really are. You may not agree with them all the time, and they may not get it right all the time, but they're trying to help you and trying to love you.
Jaquel, in the summer after my freshman year in college, I was 19. I went to a Bible study that summer, and I remember walking out of that Bible study with just what you're talking about. It was like the light had been turned on for the first time in my life, and I went, oh, because they talked about the fact that your parents have insecurities in the workplace. And I thought, no. Teenagers have insecurities. Parents don't have insecurities. They talked about your parents have fears that they face. That your parents have doubts. Your parents have – they went through the whole gamut. And it was like, I never thought of that, that this is what – human beings, even grown-up human beings, have to deal with. I thought that was just teenage angst. I didn't realize that's just a part of being human. And when I realized that, it altered the way that I interacted with my parents, because all of a sudden I had some compassion for the humanity they were having to deal with.
Yeah, it's true. You look at your parents very differently once you realize that they do not exist just to be your parents, that they are a lot more like you than you think they are.
And I want to talk just a little bit later more about honoring your parents, but I just want to close this section out by just reading the fifth commandment. Maybe there's a person who hasn't heard it recently. Mm-hmm. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Now, that's right in there between remembering the Sabbath and you shall not commit murder. Pretty heavy issues.
It's an important one.
It is an important one. And we're going to come back to it. Again, remind me, Bob, if I don't remember.
I will remind you, because I know what you have in mind here, but I just want to know about you're the oldest of
two. Just two.
And your brother, right? Younger than you?
Younger brother.
How much younger is he?
He is 2 years younger than me.
So ever any sibling rivalry as you guys were growing up?
I don't know rivalry, but we definitely fought. We fought a lot when we were younger. But as we got older, we are very different kids. And so he has never had any interest in doing pretty much any of the things that I wanted to do. Which, hey, it's worked out well.
you can go your own way, bro.
Exactly.
You get to do what you want to do. He does what he wants to do.
It's true. It's true. And it works.
When you were fighting as little kids, how did your mom and dad deal with sibling rivalry?
That's a good question. Man, you should ask them. So they were always very, very supportive of us, both of us, and never, ever, ever like played favorites naturally.
Right.
And then what they tried to do, I think, is they tried to champion us in our own kind of pursuits. And this is something that they never said to me, but a friend of mine actually mentioned that this is how his parents treated it. And I was like, well, that's exactly like my parents, is that they said, if you can't win the race, then make sure the person who beats you breaks the record. And so it was like, even in our, you know, the times that we did compete, that there was always a point that it's like, hey, you know, you guys are siblings, you need to look out for one another.
Mm-hmm. You know, when our kids were growing up, they all took piano lessons, which meant that there was a day pretty much every year for, I don't know, 10 or 15 years on a Saturday where I was going to a piano recital. Now, can I just tell you, piano recitals where seven-year-olds are playing the piece they've been working on is kind of like, if you put that on my list of things to do for the weekend, would not be my highest priority.
We're not going to judge you.
And it was also not the highest priority for an older sibling to come hear their seven-year-old brother or sister do their piano recital.
Yeah.
And my initial thought was, okay, they go to their recital and Marianne can take them to my wife. She can take them to the recital and I hope it all goes fine.
Yeah.
Marianne was like, no, we all go to the recital. I'm like, really? We all have to go to the recital? But this was so smart on Marianne's part because it's how we supported one another. It's how we cheered one another on. It's how we said, we're on your team and what you're doing is important. And sure, we sat there and I had my device out. I was surfing the web when the other kids were playing. And then when my kid was playing, then I'm filming
it. Of course.
And then I'm back on the device when it's all over. But you know what? To be able afterwards to go up and say, you did great. That was awesome. Let's watch that back again. That communicates hugely, not just from parent to child, but siblings to say to a younger brother, you did good, man. That was good. That's meaningful, isn't it?
Yeah, it's true. And I should just say, my brother is not a gushy person, so I don't think he's ever told me that he's like proud of me or that he supports me, but I know that he does because he does it in his own way, in his own brother way, and in a way that I know, hey, we are on the same team.
So when you got your copy in the mail, your very first copy of This Changes Everything, and it's like, it comes to the house and it's like, this is my book. I got a book. Did your brother look at it and go, yeah, nice job, sister? Or did he just go, huh?
Probably a mix between the two. He looked at me and was like, you know what? Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, good
for you. Good.
Yep, pretty much. But then he went out for ice cream with us. So he was pretty happy
all
at
right,
that point.
Okay,
and that was what I was going to ask you is, what does your brother do to decrease sibling rivalry between you and him?
So my brother and I are pretty good friends right now. So we hang out and we do stuff that has nothing to do with our work. So we go see movies together. We just go hang out together before this interview. I like texted him for like an hour. We like hanging out together. And because we're so different, like he does not like writing. He does not like speaking in front of people. He does not like doing interviews.
If you took away his books for the day, it'd be great.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, okay. For him, it'd be his video games. That was his punishment.
Got it.
But yeah, we're just so different. And so he's always been like, you know what? You know, you just do you and I'm good with that.
Well, I've been looking over your shoulder at your father this entire interview, and I just think it's time for him to come in here.
I'm for it.
And to tell the truth about the sibling rivalry, and then I've got an assignment for you.
Okay, I'm excited.
The book is dedicated to Sean and her mom, Diana, right?
Yep.
And it says, thank you for teaching me the gospel. This is your book, too.
That's right.
That's sweet.
Thank you.
That's really cool.
All right. Sean is in the studio now, and welcome to Family Life Today.
Thank you. Good to be
here. You've been listening to all of this.
Sean's a pastor in Halifax, Nova Scotia, right?
And your daughter has been telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
For the most part. Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Here we go.
Absolutely.
The sibling rivalry thing she just described, you'd bear witness to that?
Yeah, I think so. I think for the most part, they have quite a good relationship. They are incredibly different.
We get that. We got it.
You would wonder if they were from the same parents. But no, they do get along quite well, yeah.
And you don't remember a time when there was 48 hours when she wasn't talking to either of you?
I really don't.
Yeah.
No.
What a blessing as a parent, right?
Yeah. Isn't that?
Yeah.
That really is.
That's sweet.
Okay, so Jaquel, here's the assignment. Okay. I wrote a book, 20 years ago? Maybe 25 years ago.
It was 25 years ago.
Called The Tribute, and it was about the forgotten commandment. And I believe the fifth commandment has been one that, for the most part, the community of faith has ignored and really hasn't called parents, first of all, to be honorable. But secondly, to call children to honor their parents.
And adult children, not just little children, but a lot of people think this has a statute of limitations on it. You know, when you're 18, now you don't have to honor your parents anymore.
Right? Yeah, or my parents weren't very good, like Jaquel's parents were.
Yeah, right.
So that enables me and empowers me not to honor them. So I wrote this book about writing a tribute to your parents because my dad died in 1976, the year we started family life. And I really never got to say to him everything I wanted to say to him. So I did write one to my mom. And I spent a long time writing it. And I realized I'm not giving you any time to write a tribute. But I thought the way you have spoken of both your mom and your dad, to have your dad here in the studio with you might be really sweet for you to just look him in the eye and give him a tribute, and maybe begin with your mom, okay?
Okay.
She's
we'll
not
start
here.
With the easy.
She's not here.
And this is not what you'd tell other people about them.
Right.
This is what you'd tell them. So if your mom was here, if you were looking her in the eye, what would you say to her?
Right. Just between us with no one else listening.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mom, I want to thank you for all of the years and all of the time that you sacrificed to pour into me. All of the books that you read with me, all of the hours that you prayed for me, all of the questions that you answered for me, and all of the times that you listened to my doubts and fears and ramblings and insecurities and just responded with incredible love and grace when I didn't deserve it. All the times that you forgave me for being not a nice child or a nice teen or a nice 20-something, and for all of the times that you asked forgiveness of me, that you modeled repentance, that you were willing to own up when you failed, and that you could model for me such a love for Jesus that I saw that and I said, I want that. I want to be like you as you are like Jesus. So I just want to thank you for all of that in a way that I could never repay the gifts that you've given me. And I hope one day to be half a quarter of the mom that you were to me.
Now the harder part.
Okay. Dad, it's nice to see you there.
Yeah, nice to see you.
Well, I will thank you, too, for all of the time that you poured into me, for all of the theology books that you read with me, for all the time that you spent memorizing scripture with me, for all the time that you spent teaching me from God's word, leading family worship, all of the time that you spent helping me learn discernment and helping me learn how to navigate the teen years and learn how the gospel really changes everything, all the time that you have invested in helping me go and do what God has called me to do, being willing to come to Arkansas with me. I mean, you've come to South Carolina, Florida, Indianapolis, Chicago. You've come to a lot of places with me, not because it helps you at all or is any of any benefit to you besides to support me and to love me. And so I do absolutely believe that this book is your book too. I 100% believe that. It's probably more your book than mine because we joke that everything that I've learned, you probably said first because you have talked a lot in a good way and your words have gone in because they have been faithful and you have been faithful. And so thank you.
I would do it all again.
And all I can say is, this is one of the limitations of radio, that you can't see Sean's face, And you can't see Jaquel's face as well. Sweet moment here. Thank you for doing that, Jaquel.
You're welcome.
And we got to hope that there are moms and dads who will hear those kinds of words from their teenagers. But it takes an investment for that to happen. It takes intentionality. And Jaquel, I think your book talks about how you have been the beneficiary of your parents' intentionality because they've pointed you to the gospel. This would be a great book for moms and dads to take teenagers through. You can do this at the dinner table, arrange. We've already talked about having a date night or a breakfast where you get together and go through a chapter with your teen. Get a copy of Jaquel's book, This Changes Everything, How the Gospel Transforms the Teen Years, and do some intentional one-on-one with your son or your daughter. You can order the book from us online at familylifetoday.com, or you can call to order. 1-800-FL-TODAY is the number. Again, the title of the book, This Changes Everything. Order online at familylifetoday.com or order by phone at 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800-F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. You know, you stop and think about what it is we've talked about. If you are a parent and you've got kids in the teen years, ask yourself the question, what's more important than investing in them during these years? You won't find much that will rise higher than that assignment. 3 John 4 says, I have no greater joy than this, to know that my children are walking in the truth. And here at Family Life, we're committed to providing you with the kind of practical biblical help and hope you need so that your children can walk in the truth. We appreciate those of you who partner with us to make this program possible for hundreds of thousands of people all around the world who are tuning in on local radio, tuning in via the Family Life app, listening online, or now a lot of people just telling Alexa to play Family Life Today. And once you've set up that skill in the app, it's easy to do. And then you can have Family Life Today on demand anytime you like. And I just want to say thank you to those of you who make all of this possible as you invest in this ministry. We're grateful for the partnership we have with you. If you're able to help with a donation today, we'd love to send you Family Life's new 2019 calendar. It's all about building togetherness as a family, and it's our gift to you when you donate online today at familylifetoday.com or when you call 1-800-FL-TODAY to donate. Or you can mail your donation along with your request for the calendar to Family Life Today at Box 7111, Little Rock, Arkansas, and our zip code is 72223. Now, tomorrow, Jaquel's dad, Sean, is going to be back with us again. We're going to continue talking about what he and his wife did to navigate their daughter and what they're doing now with their son to get them through the teen years and to focus them on the gospel. Hope you can tune in and be part of that with us. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our host, Dennis Rainey, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a crew ministry. Help for today. Hope for tomorrow.